Well, it's great to be back with everyone finally after a couple weeks. We had the freezing rain last Sunday and had to cancel, and something about Sundays in this weather, I think just trying to keep us away. And as many of you probably know, the weekend before that, over New Year's, we had about 25 people here from Valley View attend our annual Faith Walkers Conference with our Association of Churches up in Des Moines, Iowa. And I don't know if I've ever experienced cold like that before. I mean, I know it was cold here, but it was so bad up there that there were about 250 churches canceled service that Sunday morning because the wind chill was like 40 below zero. And so, but even with all the cancellations we still had, we had about 1,700 people there just braving the cold, walking from the hotels to the conference center, trying not to breathe through your nose. It was like all the insides would freeze up, you know, pretty quick. And someone had looked up that frostbite would set in after about 10 minutes. But luckily, it was only about a five-minute walk to the hotel. So anyway, we all had a great time just worshiping God and growing in our faith. And if you remember from the promo videos that we showed, the theme this year was entitled Between Two Worlds. And it was actually a study on the book of 1 Peter. There are about 14 different main speakers, and they walked us through the entire book, verse by verse. And one of the main themes in 1 Peter is that, as followers of Jesus Christ, this world is not our true home. You know, it says that we live here as aliens and strangers in a foreign land. And our true home, the home that we look forward to, is God's heavenly kingdom that is to come. And so in the meantime, while we're here on earth, there can be great struggles, can't there? You know, as we're trying to live for God in a world that wants to ignore God. As we try to live in obedience to Jesus Christ in a world that says, you know, if it feels good, just go ahead and do it. And sometimes we can get sucked in, even as believers, into the world's values, into its ways of thinking. But we're called, in a sense, to defy our culture, to defy our fleshly desires and live for God. And in 1 Peter 4, you know, it talks about we've spent enough time in the past living that way, living that old life before we knew Christ, and doing things that people do who don't know God. And it says that now God has rescued us from that empty way of life, and we're to live the rest of our earthly life for God's will. So one of the things we were encouraged with at Faith Walkers was just to identify an area in our own life where we could grow in the new year to live in greater obedience to God, to grow in holiness, and find ways where we can defy the culture and not live as they do, but live for God. And so this morning, we have asked a few people to come up and just share what they learned at Faith Walkers. And they have a few skits prepared. So what they're going to do is demonstrate these two different worlds. They're going to perform a skit, and the first part might be how the world might respond or how they might have responded prior. And then they'll come up and talk about what they learned and then redo the skit and show how they're going to defy the culture, show how they're going to live in light of what they learned at Faith Walkers. So anyway, I will take a seat here and invite the first group to come up and get started this morning.
Hey, Jamie, what's up?
Oh, hey, Billy. Billy.
Hmm?
Would you say that we're friends?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. I think so, too. And as your friend, I really feel like I need to tell you, you smell really bad.
Okay, I do not smell bad. I showered, it's not important. Okay, maybe just a little bit.
Yeah, you need to go shower.
Okay. How could you not possibly know that?
You still smell.
That was gentle touch.
It was not gentle enough.
It's possible it was also a fabric softener.
Yeah, that's really gross. You should go shower for real.
Disclaimer, I did shower even before I started going to Faith Walkers. So my name's Billy. You guys probably all know me. But while I was thinking about what God showed me at Faith Walkers, a verse came to mind, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. And basically, I figured out God was telling me that I was not trying my hardest. Leading up to Faith Walkers, God had kind of been telling me this and I'd kind of been ignoring it. But during one of the main sessions with Guan Song, he talked about obedience and all the things that come along with obedience. There was, hard work, perseverance, discipline, and I looked at my life and I was like, what's keeping me from having these things, Why don't I see evidence of this in my life? And God showed it to me, and it was laziness. And I was indeed becoming very, very lazy, And I didn't really notice it. I kept shielding it, But God pointed out to me, I wasn't putting forth any effort or any hard work into anything. Not in my studies, not in my relationships with other people. And it's not that I was failing classes. I was getting okay grades. I was getting good grades. I wasn't, letting relationships die out. I was just not putting forth the effort or the time to build the relationships deeper, to make them more meaningful, or to build new ones. And I kind of covered for myself in that saying, well, my grades are good enough. It's not like I'm doing too bad, or it's not like I'm losing friends and friends are just walking out the door. But God said, that doesn't matter, you need to be working hard at this. And then he put back in my mind Colossians 3:23, and I kind of thought, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And I thought, do I really want to give God mediocre? If I'm working for God, do I really want to give him okay or good enough? Wouldn't I be working harder if I knew he was always there watching me and had his eye on me? And funnily enough, he actually does. I always seem to forget that, but he's always watching. And so just he kind of put that in my mind and in my heart, I'm watching you, you need to be working for me. And I realized, if I'm working for myself, myself is lazy and is going to let me get away with being lazy and not working hard and putting things off or doing it and getting it done, and that's it, not improving. So that was important. I kind of thought, why is this important? Why are you telling this? But he showed me that if I was being lazy, if I was not hardworking or putting forth effort or being disciplined, that laziness would seep into the things that mattered. From the little things, making your bed, not making your bed, or not checking your grades or studying for a test very much, that laziness in the little things would start to seep into the big things, the things that mattered, like my relationship with Jesus. I would just be like, well, maybe I don't have to read tonight, the Bible tonight, or I read last night, for like 15 minutes, but so just like showing me that that's going to seep into the things that matter. It's simple. You've probably all heard it 1,000 times, but that's kind of what God had to say to me. And it's been challenging, just working in that mindset and getting out of the mindset of getting it and then getting it done and doing what I want, which generally happens to be nothing. that's what he had to say to me at Faith Walkers. So hopefully in the future, my life will look a little bit more like this.
I forgot you were always standing.
Yeah, I just finished vacuuming this room. It looks great, don't it? I missed a spot. Like all of it.
That was fantastic. Good job, guys.
Man, what a cutting question. Do I really want to give God mediocre? I think that's something that can speak to all of our hearts when we just get into a pattern or a rhythm of doing things and we kind of forget that God wants our best as though we were working for Him. And we even read that if you love me, you will obey what I have commanded. So it is a way that we love, that we show our love of God by obeying Him. And so, Billy, I'm encouraged, brother, this morning. Thank you. As God spoke to you and continues to speak to you as you move forward. So let's hear this next skit.
Oh, that is too funny. Oh, that is hysterical. Hey, Leanna, what's up, girl?
I could be better, I guess.
Uh-huh.
What's going on?
Well, I just lost my job and...
Look at this meme!
Oh, that is so funny.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Just lost my job, and yeah. Since I have to pay car bills, I can't go on any youth group trips this year.
That sucks. I'll be praying for you about that. You guys, speaking about trips, did you hear about the trip that the youth group is doing down to Florida?
Yes,
I'm so excited. It's only $300 a ticket. You have to come.
You're coming, right?
I just told you I lost my job.
What's wrong with her?
Good morning. So, also a disclaimer. Hopefully I wasn't as bad as that, but just a dramatic effect. So there's two main things out of the other many topics that really stuck out to me from Faith Walkers. And it was the main theme of just being all in for Christ, to stand firm in a world that's going against Christ. Just being all in for God and in God's love, and to show that to other people. And so before Faith Walkers, I was kind of in this comfortable Christianity. I was just coasting through school, coasting through relationships, just going the normal way. I wasn't really thinking about Christ, I was just going. And I was doing the normal Christian things. I was going to church and just not really thinking too much about it. But I was also dealing with a lot of pain and guilt, just from different topics that were going on and shifts and transitions that were going on in my life during that time. But during Faith Walkers, God set me back on my feet and kind of dusted me off and showed me, hey, it's all right, now you gotta go run for me. And so He really equipped me about with the seminars that I went to, and He showed me what is a disciple and how can I live for Christ in a day-to-day life rather than just coasting. And so it just really gave me an understanding of God's love. And in John 13:35 it says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And it really stood out to me because it's not about going to church. It's not about doing Christian things. It's about the love that we show to other people, that we're going to be known as Christ's disciples. And that really struck me as important and powerful. And just seeing that lived out in Faith Walkers, and the true love that was there. And you have to be connected to the designer of love in order to truly know and understand and love to fruition the way that the designer of love designed it to be experienced. And so after the main things that I was trying to summarize for this was that for commitment, so that I want to be committed to Christ and His truths, and I want to be joyfully and defiantly steadfast for Christ. And we sang the song, Your Glory, and it was just saying that in the end, the only thing that matters is what I do for Christ. And beyond that, like, it doesn't matter, because this is all going to come to an end. And it's heaven that matters, and it's the lives that are going to be impacted for heaven that matters. And then for love, I said that there should be a supernatural, radiant love surrounding believers that testifies for the existence of a loving Savior. And again, that you must be connected to the source of love in order to truly love others. And so Charlie was asking us to get a verse to just kind of summarize this. And so mine was Deuteronomy 10:12b, and it says, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Hey Grace, what's up, girl?
How are you?
I'm good, how about you?
I'm good, how are you guys? Oh, I'm not doing too good. I lost my job the other day, and since I have to pay for my own gas money... I'm not going to be able to make it to youth group this month.
Really? That's awful. I mean, me and my family can drive you to youth group.
Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
that'd be so nice.
Yeah, and do you want to go out for coffee and, like,
talk about it? I
can cover it.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, we can go.
Thank you so much.
Whoa, guys, look what Jamie posted about Billy.
Thank you, girls. You know, when she was talking, I was reminded, she was talking about this radiant joy that just comes from God's love. And in 1 Peter 1, one of the verses they talked about was that we have in Christ, we have a living hope in which we greatly rejoice. And it says that we're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And I just thought, you know, do I have that joy all the time? What is that? What is that living hope that we have? And you know, if the hope that we have is things like, well, maybe I'm going to overcome this illness or difficulty in the new year. Or maybe this new job or promotion or raise that I've been praying for, maybe it's finally going to happen. Or maybe we're hoping that somehow in the new year, things are going to be better than what they were. But if that's what our hope is in, then the problem is that if that doesn't come to pass, we're not going to have that joy. We're going to be robbed of that love and just be filled with disappointment. Because the living hope that it talks about, it has nothing to do with the things of this world. But it says it has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Has to do with the salvation of our souls and this inheritance that is to come that can never perish or spoil or fade. And so we might go through trials for a little while we're here on earth, but each one of them has an end date and they're temporary. And so we can be filled with that joy and with that love regardless of what's going on in our life, because it says that after we have suffered for a little while, that God will restore us and call us into his glory. And so our hope and our love and our joy doesn't have to be dependent on what's going on currently in our life. But it's a living hope that it's in Jesus Christ. So thank you for that, Grace. Thank you for those reminders. And we have one more skit to share with you this morning.
Kathy, what's your problem out there, man?
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. You were falling like crazy. You were calling falls that didn't exist. And overall, you were just playing like a jerk, man. What's been going on with you?
I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm doing everything that the church says that I should be doing. You know, I'm working hard at school, getting good grades. At work, I'm respecting my boss and working hard. You know, at home, I'm obeying my parents. Whenever I see a problem going on, I try to help people out. I just don't know what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, if that's what your Christianity is all about, I don't think I want to have any part of it.
So, coming into Faith Walkers, I knew that something was missing in my life. Because, you know, I felt like I was doing everything right. All the things you're supposed to be doing. I felt like I was doing it. So in my mind, coming into Faith Walkers, I'm thinking that there's just some piece of the plan that I'm missing. You know, I felt like the guy had kept on telling me that I wasn't ready to do this up yet and to wait. So I felt like there was just some piece of a puzzle that I was just missing that God was hopefully going to show me at Faith Walkers. So like from the very first main session, God put this verse into my mind. It was Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. And that verse, it just like really stuck out to me. None of the main speakers like really talked about it, but it just felt to keep on coming up session after session after session. And everything seemed like form around everything that God was telling me around this one verse. But I still felt like that something was missing. That there was just one little piece that I just wasn't understanding. So then I'm looking through the all the different seminars for the last section. And of course, there's a seminar titled Crucified with Christ, straight out of the verse that God was speaking to me from. So I'm like, okay, God, this is clearly the one that you want me to go to. So kind of coming in, I'm thinking like it's going to be like some like more like deep theological study into what it means to really be crucified with Christ. But then about a minute in, the speaker is like, well, I'm sorry to disappoint some of you, but if you're looking for like a deep theological study into what it really means to be crucified with Christ, this isn't it. So I'm just like, okay, I'm clearly missing something, but God clearly wants me to learn something here. So we started talking about 30 years ago. He went to this big Great Commission conference in Washington, D.C., and it lasted the whole summer. And he came back from that just really on fire. He started getting involved in church in every place he could and was reading his Bible a lot and praying a lot and helping people out. But one day, he was actually doing his math homework in college, and he just had a breakdown. He tore his book in half. And then his roommate walked in. His roommate's like, bro, what's going on? And he's like, I don't know what's going on. And his roommate's like, do you want to pray about it? And he was just like, nope. But then he walked off and he prayed to God. And he said that it was in that time that he really just fully gave himself over to God. And he said that what he realized was he came back from the conference in Washington, D.C. with a mission. But he said that he didn't have a Messiah. He knew the Messiah. He knew Jesus. But he wasn't walking with him day by day. He wasn't really living a life with God. He was living one for God, but not with him. And in that moment, as he said that, you know, God just really like broke my heart, because he just convicted me that I was doing all these things that I'm supposed to be doing, that God commands us to do, but I wasn't doing them with God. And he convicted me that in the pursuit of obeying the commandments, like love your neighbor as yourself, and like the Great Commission, that I had lost sight of the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. So like that's just really what God just pointed out to me. It was just like bright as day that I wasn't spending time with God. I wasn't putting God first in my life. So hopefully my life will then look more like this. Yeah. Hey Devin, what's up?
Hey, not much. How about you?
Well, you know, life's been actually going really great lately. You know, I've been reading my Bible a lot more, and it's just been really going great.
So, what's he been talking to you in the Bible about?
Well, like, I just finished reading the story of Joseph, and what God really, like, spoke out to me was that even though all this terrible stuff was going on in Joseph's life, even though he was put into slavery, and he still, like, honored God, and then he was thrown into prison, and he was still honoring God, that even though all of the stuff, like, his life seemed to fall apart, that God was still working through that, and God still had a plan to work out through everything that was going on in there.
Hey, Cassie, is that you?
Hey, Charlie, what's up?
Hey, how you been, man?
I'm great.
It's been forever, man. Hoops ain't the same without you. Where you been?
Yeah, you know, like, as you were saying, like, I just had to figure things out in life, and God just really spoke to me that I wasn't spending enough time with him, so some things just had to go.
Hey, man, I can respect a guy who stands behind his convictions. We'll catch you later.
Catch you later.
He had a mission, but he didn't have the Messiah. Wow. That's convicting. We live between two worlds, and one world is saying, you are worth how much you can do. You are worth how much effort you give, how many things you can achieve, but if you don't do, then you're not worth. But Jesus starts off with, you are worth it. I want you. Yes, obedience and discipline and serving me is great, but I want you. I made it possible for a relationship with you, and that's what I want. And so, Stephen, that was a great, great lesson, reminder that we need to hear for the rest of our lives, I think, because we do run, and we do, and we get busy with life, and we leave Jesus behind at times. And that is actually why conferences like this are so important, to step out of your life
to step away from your responsibilities and to sit at the feet of Jesus and try to, God, what is it that you want to tell me? I know that you want to speak. What is it you want to tell me? And I actually had a very similar experience while I was there. And I like to do. I'm a doer. And so getting stuff done, and so handling administrative things around here and other things at home that need to get done. And it gets heavy. It gets heavy as you start to slowly either run ahead of Jesus or leave him kind of out and keep going, saying, I can do this on my own. And so they started talking about the love of God at the conference. It was one of the things in the middle of trials that God is loving us, and a lot of talk around God is putting his arms around you. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, God, I was sitting there, we were getting ready to worship. I was sitting there, I was thinking to myself, you know what? Like, God, I don't know if I can imagine you wrapping your arms around me and holding me. I don't know if I can even imagine, like, in my mind, can I see God going like this and realize, yes, he loves me, yes, he's... And then I thought to myself, and, you know, I don't know if I've had a lot of experience that in the past with my dad. I mean, I'm sure he hugged me, but it just wasn't a... It wasn't a memory that I had. And so I thought to myself, whoa, maybe there's something there. And I felt like God was putting his finger on it. And then he said, hey, Adam, you know what? You know, you have made it a point to make sure that you hold your son, that you hold your daughters. What do you feel like when you are just holding on to your kids and you don't want to let them go? Because you love them, because you want them to feel comfortable, because you want them to feel safe, because you want to be their refuge, because you want to be their shelter. And that is what God does to you, is what I heard. You think you're a good dad. You have no idea what a good dad does. And this is how I hold you. And so it wasn't like this big, phenomenal, you know, epiphany of here's all this hard truth. It was this, God wants to embrace you and just hold you because he loves you, because he is your shelter. He wants to walk with you through the trials because he is the answer. And so it was great to be able to sit, to step outside of life for a little while and sit in the arms of Jesus again, to refresh my heart, to refresh my mind. And then as Grace said, as we experience the love of God, we are then able to give it. Without experiences, we give our love and our best offering. But until we experience Christ's love in our life, then we will really be able to love one another the way that he's called us to. And so I just want to encourage you to realize that God loves you. That if you have trusted in Jesus, his arms are around you, holding you, and he wants you to come to him and not just go and do stuff for him. He wants you to be with him, to know him. This is eternal life, that you would know God and the one that he sent, that you would know Jesus. And out of that, we then are free to serve and love others. And so, Stephen, that was fantastic, thank you, and really brought some of that back to mind. And so at this time, we are going to move into worship, continue into worship. So please stand while the band comes up front.